2 AM, a Stargate Atlantis fic by Keho. He doesn't even bother to open his eyes and look at the caller ID. It's 2 a.m. and there's only one person that has the balls to call him at 2 a.m. without some kind of life or death emergency. And let's face it, on Earth, it's not him they call. "Let me tell you about my day," he says as soon as the phone is to his ear, leaning over and yanking off his shoes angrily. "It sucked. I know, there are better, less crass ways to convey to you the vast horribleness of my day. And I'm a smart guy. I should come up with something better than suck. But that's what it did, Shepard. It sucked." Well, that's one way to answer a phone. Should I hang up and try again? Rodney smiles at the amused tone underneath what's supposed to be an admonishment. "You can hang up if you want to, but my vocabulary or mood won't get any better." "Right," Shepard says. "Then we'll just stick with that opening and go with it. So, define your suck." Rodney can just picture it. Shepard stretching his legs out on the coffee table in front of him, one arm tucked behind his head. And if Rodney was able to ignore the vague feelings of want on Atlantis, he's completely incapable of it now that he has nothing to worry about aside from which incompetent fool is going to spill his coffee this morning. Their phone calls have become a nightly habit, and Rodney is fully aware of how dangerous it is to feel this needy for a phone call. But he's also fully incapable of disengaging from his last attachment to the place that he still thinks of as his. "Define my suck?" Rodney asks, sinking into his ratty old torn-up couch. And sure it's a mess, and sure it's ugly like puke, but the thing's comfortable, and Rodney's never been one to stand on ceremony. "Let's see. Suck means stupid oaf number one has just been usurped by stupid oaf number two, because at least he knows the speed of sound is not in any way comparable to the speed of light." Don't even ask. Please. Really. I barely managed to not commit murder this morning. It's better if we leave it alone. Light's faster, right? Rodney freezes, his hand hovering right next to his ice-cold beer. "Tell me you're joking." Shepard's laugh is a thing of beauty to Rodney, because it's not perfect in any way. It's loud and gravelly and distinctive as anything Rodney's ever studied. And to be honest, he spent much more time studying the imperfections of Shepard's laugh than it's considered exactly healthy. "Of course I'm joking, Rodney. Light's only about 900,000 times faster. How the hell does someone get confused on that?" 850,000 times faster. And yes, no, I don't know how anyone who's even remotely competent could confuse the two. "Actually, Rodney, if you want to be technical, it's 871,489 times faster. 490 if you round the 7/10 up." "You did that in your head, didn't you?" Rodney asks, and he can't help but get hard. Shepard's brain has always made him hard, because anyone that damn gorgeous should not be allowed to think. "Stupid oaf number one is Smalls, right? Who's two?" "Oh, like I pay attention to their names," Rodney says, flicking his wrist and grabbing the beer, tilting it up. This, right here, this is the height of his day. This beer and this phone call. If that's not sad enough to make a man slit their wrists, he really doesn't know what is. "I'm doing good to remember on any given day which is number one and which is number three." "You're such a good boss, Rodney," Shepard says, and Rodney closes his eyes to let the playful tone wash over him. It's a side of Shepard he didn't get to hear that often in Atlantis, and it's maybe the only good thing that's come out of their sudden reinstatement as citizens of Earth. "Hey, I never said I was a good boss. I've never claimed to have good interpersonal skills." Shepard laughs again, low and rumbling, and if Rodney weren't hard already, that would have done it. "That's good, because you suck at lying." Every night after he hangs up the phone, he finishes whatever number beer he's on at that point, pulls off his boxers, and jerks off to the memory of Shepard's laugh. He's going to have to cut this phone call short, because today has been a long day, an incredibly frustrating day, and he's not going to be able to hold off that long. "I just don't understand why there are so many idiots," Rodney says, closing his eyes and running his hand down his stomach. He's never actually touched himself with Shepard on the phone, but there's something to be said for skirting the line. "I'm Rodney McKay, Can't I have at least one person who's not a complete dunce? I don't know, Rodney. Maybe it's punishment for your winning personality. Rodney snorts and then wishes he hadn't, because beer doesn't feel good coming out of one's nose. Then what's your team punishment for? Your gravity-defying hair? Shepard laughs again, and Rodney lets his mind wander. Lets himself picture Shepard lying on the couch. His shirt rucked up so that just enough of the skin at his waist is showing. Jeans loose and low-slung. Line of his hip jutting out. Lets himself think for just a second what it would be like to follow that line with his fingers, and maybe later his tongue. I don't know, but I never thought the day would come that I'd wish you were still on my team. That day has come, Rodney, and that's how I know. It's the end of the world. Gee, thanks, Rodney says. And it's time to get off the phone. He knows that because he's a little breathless and his fingers are close enough to his dick that he can feel the warmth radiating off of them. Seriously, it's disturbing, Rodney. These men are trained. They're actually trained. And you are a better shot than half of them. It's disturbing. His head is starting to spin from the combination of alcohol and stress and coffee and Shepard's voice. And if he doesn't get off the phone soon, he's going to cross the line and he knows it. It's bad enough that he's let it get this far. The last thing he's prepared to do is allow himself the memory of knowing what it feels like to touch himself with Shepard's voice in his ear. You know, I'm not a half-bad shot, Colonel. No, you're not, Rodney. But these guys are trained. You learn to shoot out of necessity. They learn to shoot because this is what they want to do with their lives. He knows it's a bad idea before he says it, but he does it anyway. So how did your date go? Shepard groans, and it's what he was going for. He knows it is. But he didn't know that he was so far gone that it would almost be enough in and of itself for him to come right then. Almost, but not quite. Horrible. Define horrible. Shepard laughs. We're just not suited to each other. Rodney rolls his eyes. So of course you slept with her. Rodney? Rodney snorts again. I knew it. Okay, well, fine. Yes, I slept with her. But that's all you're getting out of me. I'm not the kiss-and-tell type. Did I ask for a blow-by-blow? I just said you slept with her. I got a little drunk. Just a little, Shepard says. And the embarrassment in his voice makes Rodney stifle a laugh. And besides, you know, you call me Captain Kirk, but I've always told you you were wrong, because it's not like I'm getting any action, as it were. Did you say action? Rodney asks, laughing again. Wow. Shut up. Hey, I'm not going to judge you, Shepard. God knows I need some, well, action, as you so eloquently put it. A hasty hand job in the back of a lab by a tech that lasted for exactly 1 week does not make up for 3 years of unwanted celibacy. There's a pause, and it's in that moment that Rodney realizes he's never told Shepard about that. It's also in that second that he realizes the reason he never told Shepard was because the lab tech had been a man. Hang on. Never mind, I'm sorry I mentioned it, Rodney says, covering his face and cringing. Look, I've had a long day, and I'm... No, not so fast, McKay. What hand job in the back of what lab? When did this happen? Rodney groans. Fine, last week. Okay, it happened last week, and excuse me if I didn't want to start a phone conversation off with, guess who jerked me off, Colonel? Shepard has several distinctive laughs, and this one is definitely his evil one. Oh, Rodney. Rodney feels his face flush, and being embarrassed shouldn't be even more of a turn-on. But somehow, like with everything, Shepard manages to do the unlikely. What? No, nothing. It's just, I never took you for having a public sex fetish. Rodney rolls his eyes. Okay, it's not a fetish. It's just what happened, okay? They cornered me. Uh-huh. It was forced on me. I didn't ask for it. They just cornered me in the back of the lab and had their way with me. I was completely innocent. Cornered you, huh? Shepard asks. And if Rodney's not mistaken, his voice is dipped just a bit lower. Sounds pretty hot if you ask me. Oh, I see, Rodney says, smirking triumphantly. It's you who has the public sex fetish. No, I have an aggressive women fetish, Shepherd counters with, sounding defensive. I've never felt the urge to be watched. Which just does wonders for Rodney's imagination, because now he's picturing backing Shepherd into a wall and pulling down his pants, watching him struggle half-heartedly as Rodney presses into him, the stuttering gasps shuddering through his chest when Rodney starts to jerk him off. Though there is something in the threat of being caught, Shepherd continues. And Rodney's sure of it now. Shepherd's tone has definitely changed, and it's doing things to Rodney's dick that's making it nearly impossible for Rodney to not just shove his hand inside of his boxers. Yes, it's called adrenaline, Rodney says in a rush, clearing his throat. Listen, I should go. Sharon. That was her name, my date. Sharon wasn't that bad. She just wasn't someone I'm normally attracted to. She was pretty enough, but she was complacent. She was too... I don't know. Eager to please? Rodney blinks, trying to remember just how the hell they got back on this subject. His brain was, needless to say, not firing on all cylinders. Ah. Which came in handy when she, did other things, mind you, but wasn't my favorite quality about her. She didn't give me much choice in the matter, by the way. I said I had a nice night and I'll call you, and then she had her hands down my pants. Rodney freezes, staring in horror at his hand, which is somehow shoved down his boxers before he even knew it had moved from his thigh. Hmm, he says, not trusting his voice to be steady. I never realized that, you know, that I had a particular type. But she was just so complacent. Whatever you want. I don't care what we have for dinner. Whatever you choose is fine. I don't care what movie we go to. She didn't talk about herself at all. Just kept asking me questions about cars. It was like she was playing by a rule book she got out of Cosmo. How to let a guy know you're into him. She was out of a 50s movie. Rodney keeps his eyes closed and tries to control his breathing. Sounds like your type to me. What? Rodney frowns. She sounds sweet. Your type. No, no, no. It wasn't right at all. She had no opinions, Rodney. I even started baiting her. I played devil's advocate and deliberately talked about differing points of view. She didn't even call me on it when I contradicted myself. Rodney swelled and wondered if it would be easier to keep his hand absolutely still or take it out of his boxers. Okay, so she was an idiot. A sweet idiot. I still say it's your type. Oh, fuck you, Rodney. I like people with opinions. She was boring. I kept wishing I was eating dinner with you, and you were not who I should be thinking about while on a date with a perfectly nice girl. Well, if it's any consolation, I would much rather have been eating dinner with you than hunched over my computer all night long. Hell, I'd have much rather been talking to you on the phone while eating a frozen dinner than trapped in my lab all night with Smalls. Is that who it was? Shepherd asks, a halting tone in his voice that makes Rodney tense up. The lab tech from last week. Smalls? Rodney blinks. No. But it was a guy, right? Shepherd says, and still Rodney can't read his tone. Rodney swallows. What makes you think that? Because you called them they, Shepherd says. It was, wasn't it? Isn't it don't ask, don't tell, Rodney says, his voice strained. Because right now you're violating that first part. Rodney, Shepherd grates out, and Rodney can practically see him rolling his eyes. Just answer the question. Yes, okay, yes, it was a guy, Rodney spits out, waiting for the horror to become apparent in Shepherd's voice, waiting for the line to go dead. Happy now? You've outed me. There's a beat of silence, and for a moment, Rodney thinks he's actually done it, that Shepherd's actually hung up on him. Then he hears his breath hitch and a rustling. Yeah, I thought so. Are you done humiliating me? Because that's just the icing on the cake that is today, Rodney says, swallowing. I wasn't just thinking about you during dinner, Rodney, Shepherd says, his voice rushed and a little breathless. Rodney frowns. What's that supposed to mean? You have this annoying habit of never leaving my thoughts, not even when I want you to. Not even when I'm doing everything I can to get you out of them. Shepherd's breathing has changed and he sounds on the verge of panic. But Rodney's heard every single version of panic that John Shepherd is capable of, And this is something different. What are you saying? Fuck, Rodney, you need me to spell it out for you? Shepard says, and it sounds like a whine, but it's the sexiest thing Rodney's heard in weeks. Years, maybe. Because it's followed up by a gasp, and it makes his dick twitch under his hand. I couldn't stop thinking about you. She had her mouth wrapped around me, and I couldn't get you out of my head. All the air escapes Rodney's lungs at that, and all he can do is close his eyes and wait for his head to stop spinning. He can hear Shepard, suddenly small and tiny over the phone wires, calling out his name, saying things like, "You son of a bitch," and "You better not have hung up on me," and "Jesus, please, Rodney, tell me I'm not the only one." But all he can think is, "My God, my God. You were thinking of me when she was going down on you," he says, his tone flat despite the way his heart is pounding in his throat. "Yes," Shepard says, and how he can sound annoyed and turned on at the same time is a mystery to Rodney. And God help me, it's the only reason I actually got off. Rodney doesn't even bother to stop himself when he starts stroking himself. Just closes his eyes and pictures Shepard, sitting in the driver's seat of whatever he's using for a vehicle these days, while some blonde goes down on him. "You were thinking of me." Shepard is as good as panting now, and Rodney can't help but picture him. Can't help but think that this is what he'd sound like if Rodney touched him. Ran his tongue up over his hip bone and crushed his fingers into his sides. "Yes, I was thinking of you, Rodney. Tell me you're with me on this. Tell me you're with me." "I am," Rodney says, and he can barely breathe, because it's been 3 weeks of nightly calls, and he never for 1 second let himself think that maybe Shepard got just as hard as he did. "I'm with you, I just..." "Really?" "I wanted it to be you. I wanted it to be you I was eating dinner with, and I wanted it to be you afterwards." "If you're fucking with me..." "Every night I call you, and we talk about bullshit. Meaningless, nothing bullshit. And every night I get hard as a rock, and it's just because it's you. It doesn't matter what we talk about, because every time we talk, we get in some small argument, and I swear to God, I don't know when it happened, but somehow that became foreplay, because every goddamn night I get hard, and you won't get out of my head. Why the hell do you think I went on that date? She wasn't my type, and I knew it." "Me too," Rodney says, and he's barely aware the words are coming out of his mouth. He's never been more turned on in his life than he is right now. "Every night." "Yeah?" Shepard asks, and Rodney's sure of it. He's absolutely, positively sure that Shepard's got his hand on his pants, too. "Yeah," he answers, and he knows he's giving everything away in the tone of his voice, in the way he can't catch his breath, but he's not worried about it because Shepard moans then, and all the hairs on the back of Rodney's neck stand up. "I have to get off, Rodney," Shepard whispers. "I have to. I can't wait this time." "Then don't," Rodney says, stroking a little faster, licking his lips. "I'm not." "Oh, God," Shepard says. And from the way he's breathing, Rodney can tell he's close, so he speeds up. Strokes faster until his breathing is matching his. "Rodney, is this really happening?" "I think so, but you know, I might have hit my head on something this morning when I slipped in the shower." Shepard's laugh is breathless, and more of a moan than anything, and Rodney's never heard that laugh before, but he thinks it's his favorite. There are so many jokes in that, it's too obvious to even comment. Rodney's hand tightens in the cushions beneath, and he squeezes his eyes shut tighter, tries to imagine that it's Shepard's hand wrapped around his dick instead of his own. "Jesus, I'm not going to last, Shepard. Tell me you're close." "I am," Shepard says, and then fuck. And then he's gasping and moaning, and Rodney's coming before he knows it, just imagining the way Shepard's face must look right now, the way his hands would be gripping Rodney's shoulders if his mouth was on them. They don't speak for a full minute afterwards, the sounds of their breathing synchronizing, and Rodney's eyelids drooping closed, sleep rising in the near distance. "Well," Shepard says, and Rodney laughs. "Mmm," Rodney answers, because it's all he can manage. "You know, I could have sworn I had better control than that." Rodney runs his hands up his stomach and pretends it's Shepard's cum on his hands. "Yes, well, can I say I'm not disappointed?" "No, you don't understand. I don't do that on the phone. Not with someone I actually know and have to work with." Rodney feels a pang in his chest and finds himself frowning. We don't anymore. Work together, that is. Right. Rodney sighs. Right. I should go, Shepard says, clearing his throat. I'm falling asleep over here. Yeah, Rodney says, nodding his head and fighting off the panic rising in his chest. Me too. And Rodney? Rodney answers, standing up and picking up the beer bottles he's let go for far too long. Change your flight? Rodney freezes. What? Change your flight. Fly out early. Rodney tries not to hope that this means what he thinks it means. Early. A day. 2 days. Before dinner. If it's this good over the phone. Oh, he says, feeling keeled over. He would have laid money down on the odds that Shepard would pretend this never happened. Really? Yeah, Rodney, really, Shepard says. And Rodney can see the slow, lazy smile on his face like Shepard's right there in front of him. And don't tell Carson you're coming early. The man's clingier than I knew was humanly possible. Rodney laughed, depositing the beer bottles into his sink and trying not to feel too happy. Things like this never last for him. Okay, then. I'll change them tomorrow and let you know. Okay, Shepard says, in the middle of a yawn. Night. Night, Rodney says, but Shepard's already hung up.